First of all, Genesis chapter 1, which has been the bedrock of what we said in the last few weeks. The book of Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now, one statement, one expression I've already explained here, let me just dismiss that before we get back there, is what God meant when he said the light was good. I said that the Bible says that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, please notice something. I'll explain that for a few minutes. When God said that the thing was good, it was because he was comparing. Are you getting my point? That is, when God said, this one is good, he was comparing to something that he had in his heart. That is, the Spirit of God was hovering, that was the alternate rendering in New American Standard that I use, over the surface of the waters. I said that the spiritual significance of that is that God was, let me use the word, meditating. He was incubating. God was moving. And this is the way it works. Inside his heart, pictures were being properly arranged. Things were being properly developed. I said something, this was our radio broadcast, I think, in which I said that this is the way life is. You cannot have a vision until you have a problem confronting you. This is a fact about life. You cannot have a vision in life until there is a problem that you have identified. Are you following my point? That tells me simply that that is how God designed life to be. You are designed to introduce a solution. You are designed in life to bring to birth a problem-solving, all right, arrangement that God already created in the heavens. And that's the way it is. Like we said, politicians don't campaign except on problems. You don't ever see a politician campaign and is using any other thing as a campaign statement apart from problem-solving issues. Again, a few days ago, I saw the Republican debate that CNN organized for American presidency election is coming up in less than a year. So everything's already, you know, heating up towards that. What are the issues? When people want to talk again, what they talk about is what? Iraqi war, terrorism, global warming, all right, immigration, problems they are facing, crime control. That's the way life is. You only have a vision based upon problems that exist. Are you getting my point? All right, that's just the way it works. So when God saw the problem, the earth was formless and it was void, what he was doing was creating in his heart exactly what he wanted to do. Now, you know, last time I said that I was talking about, that our last recorded message was on attaining authority and the exercise of authority. Actually, what I'm talking about today is more on that exercise of authority or the releasing of faith or the releasing of the power of faith. That's, you choose any title that suits you, what I'm going to talk about today. Because the first thing you will notice, which I'm going to emphasize, is that when God spoke, my emphasis today is on that word speak, and God said, because it's so important that you understand that God wasn't speaking primarily just to get results, but God was speaking out of an overflow. Are you getting my point? Let me explain what I'm going to say. By the time God began to speak, you know, remember I said something earlier, that God did not speak in English. You know that. As a matter of fact, he did not speak Hebrew. Which language did he speak? We have no idea. But we know that he expressed something which Moses wrote down as what? God spoke. Now, what exactly he said in the words that he says, we don't know. What's important is what Jesus said in John chapter 6. He said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life and the words that I have spoken. All right? He said, they contain a spiritual substance that impart life or create effect wherever they go. That is, what was important is the spirit that was contained in the thing that God said. And please notice this. You cannot have a spirit inside something you have not incubated upon. It is not possible. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Let me explain what I'm saying. You cannot see sickness, all right, and speak to sickness except you have already incubated the word of divine health and it will hear you. Now, what am I trying to say here? That is, Jesus said that if you can believe, you know, that's where we started from. I am saying that you cannot believe until you have thought about. Do you follow my point? Let me explain what I'm really, give this as an illustration. when Peter was on the water, listen to this, Peter said, if it is you, bid me to come. The interesting part was that his faith was strong enough to obey the words of Jesus. Why? Because he was used to the presence of Jesus Christ. He was used to the power in his words. That was why as soon as he took his eyes away from Jesus Christ, he sank. Oh, please, are you getting what I'm saying here? He was used. That's why people will go for crusades. And a lot of Christians these days, that's just their problem. They are so hopelessly dependent upon their man of God that it is, I mean, Jesus Christ is ashamed. Now, get what I'm going to say here. No, listen. The man wants to travel until his pastor says, go, it will be well with you. He can't take off from his house. Now, get what I'm going to say. He wants to do a business. Until the pastor says it is good, he can't. He doesn't cross his mind that he can make a decision until his man of God has said something. If he's sick, he will travel. Let's assume he goes to Redeem as an example. He will travel all the way to Redemption Camp to go and get healed, all right, of his sickness. Do you know why? Because his faith is in the person that he's seen. As soon as he takes his eyes away, he will sink. Are you getting my point? But Jesus wasn't looking at anything like that. What happened was that he had contemplated the principles of life. He understood his position with God. He understood, oh God. If you have, there's one expression they use in Yoruba land, they will tell you that, if you understand the name that the leaf is called and you speak to it, it will answer you. That is, all of us know it is leaf. But the man said that, look, tell it its proper name. You talk to it, it will get up. Now, we used to hear those things as children. We thought they were just poetic statements. No, they are facts of life. Jesus understood the name that water was called. And when he spoke to water, water responded. Are you getting my principle here? So, despite the fact that the wave was jumping, things were going upside down, because in his heart, he already had contemplated. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? And I'm going to explain that one today. So, when God spoke, get my point, it wasn't because he was trying to get results, but he was speaking out of what? An overflow. That's why it's irrelevant whether he spoke English or he spoke Hebrew. Like the first day I gave this expression, I think I was teaching in church, one of those cities I said people should try and get. I said that maybe all God said was, now, Moses wrote that down as what? Let there be light. Are you getting my point? Meanwhile, God just, after incubating things, the overflow in his heart was what was expressed physically. Now listen to this. For the creation, mankind that God made afterwards, the only way he can express that primarily is by what? Words. That's why Jesus said, out of what? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is the problem with confession when Christians want to practice it. They want to speak what does not fill the heart. Don't forget this thing. The words themselves, Jesus said, they profit nothing. But what? It is the spirit that gives life. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That is, you must first generate the spiritual energy inside you before your words can make any meaning. That's why God, the Spirit of God first was hovering over the surface of the deep, over the surface of the waters. He was going around seeing the problems. He had contemplated everything and understood the solution that he desired for it. Then the thing just flowed out of him and Moses wrote it down and God said. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? So when he spoke like that, what came out actually was just a release of the spirit he had generated. Listen, any area in life, listen, this is the way it works. Any area in life where you will have effect, that is just the principle. It must be something you have thought about all the time. Now, it's not I'm putting two and two together and understanding many of these spiritual principles. For example, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I've given this to you as an example before. People, sometimes I get letters. People I don't know. Sometimes I even get strange phone calls. Like one of the American and I were answering the other day. You don't know how the person got your number. But the person wants to talk to Pastor Banky. And then what is it? He said, pray for me, I have problems. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, maybe if the person has faith strong enough, and if I prayed for him, he said, okay, come, let me pray. His faith, like I said earlier, about people depending on the man of God, his faith might be strong enough to get results. Are you getting my point? But if you expect him to go home and then I will pray and he will get solutions to his problem, he's making a mistake. Do you know why? I don't know the guy talking. Whether he's tall or short or dark or fair or what, whether he's lying or telling the truth. Do you understand my point? You know, there are people, one day, a woman came up to me. I finished preaching somewhere, and along the line, I talked about people being bewitched. And she came and said, I should pray for her. I said, what's the issue? She said that she thinks her husband is bewitched. So first of all, I said, who all gave you the impression that your husband is bewitched? In my mind, are you sure you're not the witch? No, no, God is my witness. That was what came to my heart. I said, are you sure that, like, the man may be, maybe you are the witch. You know, so I asked, what gave you the impression your husband is bewitched? And she began to talk and talk and talk. And I couldn't say more. I didn't know enough. But in my mind, if you want me to break the bewitching power over your husband, forget it, because for one reason or the other, I was not persuaded that the man was bewitched. I felt that maybe you are the one driving him away. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? One day in church, people came forth for prayer, and one young guy, a young man came up to me and said, I should pray for his brother. I said, what's the problem with your brother? He said, the guy is so resistant to the gospel. I don't know why my mind just went there. I said, are you sure you're not the one resisting him to the gospel? I don't know. I just asked the guy simply, are you sure you're not the problem? He said that they're always clashing. I said, wait, come on. I should pray about him. You. Are you sure you're not the one that has a problem in this situation? No. I asked him simply, because it's easy to join hands and say, sure, brother, beware. Listen, meanwhile, the sick man is the one right in front of you. I asked the guy simply, please, are you sure you are not the one I should be praying about? He now said, no, of course. What did you expect? He said no. And he said some things. Well, I can't even remember the details, but why I brought up that issue is that that's why it's so difficult, because I can't really understand his problems. Do you understand my point? But if somebody who is close to you, all right, has an issue, even without telling you, pray for me. Do you follow? You go into your heart, because the thing is that your spirit, your heart dwells upon that person's problems. I remember one particular night, at 3 a.m., there about 2, 3 a.m., a friend called and said that the couple, they are our friends, all right, people I know very well and I love dearly. Are you getting my point? So I look at my phone, you know, your phone ringing at 3 a.m., nobody, if it's an international call, you say, okay, maybe this guy forgot that it's 3 a.m. in Nigeria. Right, it's a local call. You know, this person is 3 a.m. in your house also. Are you getting me? And the person said that, and I felt the lady was trying to be cool, you know. Slow down as much as possible to talk. What is the problem? Their child was not feeling well, so they wanted me to pray. This is not normal, not feeling well. 3 a.m., for goodness sake. I've never gotten that kind of phone call from those quarters before. So I prayed on the phone there and then for a few minutes. And then, good enough, the next morning, they called and said, the guy is very, very well. That in fact, when he was there and said, let's go to the hospital, they said, no, there's no need that. I've been prayed for. I am fine. And the guy was really fine. Now, this is the point I want you to understand. When I hung up the phone, my wife said, who is that? I said, so and so person. And that was the last thing I said to her. I began to pray. I prayed so intensely. That is, I was so ill myself until I became relieved before I went back to sleep. Are you getting my point? Why? Because there are people I know. They thought that the 2 minutes prayer I said on the phone was all I said. Maybe a 45-second prayer. But the truth was that I don't know how long I prayed after the phone was off. I can't give it, but for certain reasons, no. My heart just couldn't be at peace until that chap was well. There are people I know. If somebody comes from somewhere, hey, Pastor Banky, we listen to you on radio every day. Please pray for us. All right. Is your hand up? God bless them. God be with you. Amen. Bye-bye. As soon as you hang up the phone, I forget you. Now, just for those who may want a balance of the situation, there are situations in which the Spirit of God, all right, uses your mouth to pray. Are you getting my point? And imposes a burden upon you that doesn't belong to you, that even you might not be able to understand. Are you getting my point? I just want to bring a balance to the situation. So that occurs, but those are not things you can work up. Are you getting my point? They are not things you can work up. You know, remember the explanation and the illustration I gave last time? It's also on that CD that, listen, Jesus didn't stay up all night. A lot of us think he was staying up all night out of discipline. That Jesus used to love to pray all night. You know, therefore, he just said, this night I shouldn't sleep. Let me go and pray. The fact is that Jesus used to pray all night because the thing was upon him to pray all night. Sometimes physically, he's feeling the infirmities of the people that he's ministering to. And listen, you too, if you get migraine, you know, go sleep. Do you follow my point? And the same manner, but he not being the one that is sick, but bearing the infirmities of other people, he will stay up all night and then he will pray. What's happening again is that, let me just use this expression, he's charging up his spirit for the ministration that will soon come. Are you getting my point? And how did he do that? By praying, by bearing the infirmities of the people. You are following what I'm going to say here. So let's just sit down on the thing we are saying. So when God said, let there be light, that's actually why I'm saying all of this. It was not just a statement trying to get results. It was what? An overflow of what was filling his heart. And I'm going to talk about this issue of that overflow in a moment, because it's so important. Because until, you know, the Bible says that when the clouds are full, all right, that is when they pour forth rain, all right, upon the earth. It's not just about talking, all right, but talking out of a heart that is full. That's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. Your heart is thinking one thing, but you're talking another, because it's possible to learn the talk. Are you getting my point? You come to church, you learn the talk. They say, how is it? He said, it is well. How's everything? Believe me, God is in control. Really, it's just a Christian way of answering. You know, are you getting my point? That is, the person really is not fine. But the answer to the question, how are you, is what? Fine. Even if his head is off, all right? And he says, well, how are you? He first answers you, fine. I say, please, can you help me? What's the problem? My head is off. But I just asked you just now, how are you? And you said everything is what? Fine. That is, you can say what your heart really has not incubated, and that really doesn't get results. Do you follow the point I'm making? So with God, the Spirit of God first hovered upon the surface of the waters before he said. By the time he was saying, his heart was full. And the word that came forth, or the expression, which we're going to see, because there are different ways you express things. The expression that came out was actually a release of the Spirit that had been built up in his heart. What am I saying? You will speak words, they will come to pass just as you have said them. All right? But not just because you said, but because what? Your heart had already... Now, an illustration just came to my mind. Remember when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus? Do you understand? He said, Father, I thank you because you have what? You have heard me. And in fact, you hear me always. What does that tell you? Before he raised Lazarus up, he had discussed some things with the Father. It wasn't just a matter of, it's not a rogue kind of authority. Just go and look. Who's dead there? Who's dead? Who's dead? Who's dead there? And then somebody just says, okay, you dead man, get up. No, they told him Lazarus was sick. And at the point in time, he knew Lazarus had died. And he spoke to the Father about Lazarus getting up again from the dead. And when the Father said, okay, he now proceeded to the tomb of Lazarus to go and raise Lazarus up according to the answer, all right, of his intercession before the Father. Now, normally, he wouldn't talk to anybody about it. In fact, he said he only did that at that point to let the people know the relationship he had with the Father. You are following the point I'm making here. That is, when he healed the man who had leprosy, he probably has had discussion all night, all right, with the Father. Are you getting my point? These are things that for a long time I used to pray that, God, what did Jesus used to pray about all night? Because we know one thing for sure. He wasn't praying about what he would eat, what he would drink, and what he would wear. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, I like one thing somebody said once, that do you know why Peter, James, and John and the other disciples couldn't pray for 1 hour? He said, it's not their fault that Jesus only taught them the Lord's Prayer. So when they say, pray with me for 1 hour, I said, no problem. Peter, join your hand. James, all of you. The Lord has gone further. Thomas, where are you? Put your hand there. Everybody. The only person missing, Judas, don't worry. We'll catch him later. Let us pray. John, start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as you forgive us. Now, 1 minute. The thing don't finish. Say, John, that was too fast. Let's start again. Our Father. So, Peter will just say that. I think I can say he's sitting down. Of course, after a short while, the guy begins to feel sleepy. Our Father. Oh, what in heaven? It was one brother that told me that. I knew Jesus definitely wasn't praying that all night. Are you getting my point? And for a long time, I used to wonder, what was it that he used to pray about all night? And I know one thing for sure. Everything now, there's an interesting part about the body of Christ. There's now division of labor. There are times people go out to execute, all right, what other people have prayed about. Jesus said like this, other men labored, then you entered into, all right, their labors. You know, somebody can prepare a harvest and you go and reap it. But this is the principle. Before the results, the words begin to have, or before you find words that have potency, it is because the heart had indicted, that's the word, a matter. It has sat upon something. And if you are maybe an engineer or you are a businessman, you will not just wake up one morning and say, okay, yes, I'm going to take over sugar from Dangote. It doesn't work like that. Do you follow my point? Before then, you probably have traded in salt. Before then, you have considered the trade in sugar. You have seen the way it works. Before then, you have seen the things that are unjust in the taxes. Do you get my point? You have seen things you want to correct. Remember what I said earlier? You can't have a vision if there is no problem. Where the Spirit of God actually releases substance, grace, power towards you is when you are incubating on how to solve a problem. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Now, please, I don't want to sit on that one forever. I'm finding it so hard to drag myself away from that. So, please, that is the emphasis there. God spoke out of what he had what? Contemplated, what he had meditated. Now, I said earlier that I'm talking today specifically about that issue of words. Now, let's read another scripture, and it will help us. Mark chapter 11, where we started this whole thing from. Jesus cursed a tree, and in verse 21, Peter said to him, "Look, the tree you cursed has withered." The Bible says, "From the root upwards, it withered." And the answer that Jesus gave is, you must have faith in God. And we started talking about the law of faith. That is, it's a law. If you do what it requires, you will definitely get the result. He said in 23, "Truly I say to you," Jesus was now saying, whoever says to this mountain, please notice this word, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him." Now, please notice this. Let me go by it again. Jesus said this is the principle of faith in God. You will say to this mountain, not doubting in your heart. And whatever you say to the mountain, if you believe that it will happen, it will most certainly happen. He said, "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, and they will be granted you." Now, two things I want you to understand here is that Jesus was saying that, one, there is a place for prayer in faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not going to go over that again. And then second, because you see, he was saying, if you say to this mountain, be removed. And I said, "Therefore I say to you," I want to understand something. There was a time they wanted to cast out demons from one young boy. And Jesus said that, they asked him, "Why could we not cast it out?" Please understand something. Jesus said, because of what? Your unbelief. Do you understand? He now said, "Nevertheless, this type does not go out but by, if you have a King James, he said by fasting and prayer. Most of the Bible just say, but by prayer. Now, this is what I want you to understand here. Again, that has been a source of confusion for people for a very long time. That you said, people say that there are certain demons that don't go out except by prayer. But Jesus didn't say that's why it didn't go out. They said, why didn't it go out? Why could we not cast it out? He said it was what? Because of your unbelief. Now, I've said something to us before, and I want to repeat it again. Faith is not something you wake up one day and decide to have. Let me explain. You cannot, let's say now, they finish trying, and Jesus was not around. So they say, John, where's the phone? He gets the phone. He said, Jesus is conducting a crusade in Abba. So they phone him. He said, "Lord, we have a problem here." Are you kidding what I'm saying? And he said, "What's the problem?" "There's this 12-year-old boy. He's had this problem. The father brought him, and we've been praying for the last 1 hour. Actually, we've not been praying. We've been shouting, and the demon hasn't gone." And Jesus says, "Okay, it's because of your unbelief." And so Peter says, "Okay, thank you very much." He hangs up. He says, "John, you know what we're going to do? Now we are going to believe. We did not believe before." Do you understand? Listen, it doesn't work like that. You don't just make up your mind 1 minute to believe. Those things only happen if you were in a position of believing, but you were doing something wrong. Are you getting my point? And again, that thing is pointed out to you. So you revert back to the position of faith. Now, what I'm going to say is this. Jesus couldn't do it like that. Say, okay, you didn't believe. Now, go and believe. Listen, it was because of their unbelief. The same words they spoke, Jesus spoke. All right? He will rebuild this. They saw him do it before. Let me illustrate it again so that you understand what I'm saying perfectly. I just remember something when we were in school. There's this spring they use for bodybuilding. You know? It develops the back of your arms and your upper chest. Guys, you know? You bend it. I don't know the name. You bend it like this. Now, once when we were in school, I remember this thing just came back to my mind. Now, there was one we used to, you know, work out with guys, you understand, in the hostel. So one of my friends, the guy is very good, very, very strong, upper body, very, very strong. So he will put his two hands close to the edge of the spring. That's the hardest way to do it. Now, without anything coming close to it, but he just stretch out his hand like that and bend the thing. Now, it's real hard. It's real hard. Really hard. Okay? Now, if I wasn't as strong as he was, if I wanted to do that, I had to bring it close to my body and balance it with my body, you know, so that I can concentrate my energy on bending it. We used to do things as bad as toss to the back, bend it behind. So once we're outside the hostel and, you know, we're just walking out, just playing, guys. And there was this particular chap, still remember him very well. Now, he had never tried it. That was his first time on that equipment. So he came, grabbed it at the end, the softest and easiest part, and tried to bend the thing, and that stuff wouldn't budge. He would look at me. I didn't look as big as he was. My friend even looked leaner. He had a better lean body mass. All right? Yeah, the guy would just pick the thing up again. Bam! And that's it. And this thing is real iron. I mean, really strong. So this is why I'm telling the story. This guy will leave the arena, go out, then watch these small-bodied guys doing this stuff, you know? So I remember one particular time, he came back, you know, angry. Like, how can these guys do it? And I can't. So we talked it back to him. And we knew one trick he didn't know. Not a trick, a truth. A truth. Once you can't do it, you can't do it. If you try it once, twice, the third time is more difficult. You are getting weak. You come back. So we knew that we knew this guy was just raking. So we gave it to him. Of course, he almost injured himself. Finally, he left. He said, there's a technique you guys are not telling me. And I told him simply, there's no technique. It's simply brute strength. You either have that strength or you don't have it. Now, why did we look leaner than him and he couldn't do it? Because the relevant muscles that could handle that, we had it. We may not have the general muscles. Do you understand? We may not have had the general one. But the one you needed for that particular exercise, being the thing we use all the time, they were well toned up, they were well developed. Do you get the point? Now, he thought that just by looking and getting angry, you can muster up the energy. But the fact is that it doesn't work like that. In fact, he got weaker. His faith became weaker as he tried and he failed. Let's get back to faith. That's how faith is. It's either you have it or you don't have it. It's not at the point that you need it that you will get angry and pull it down from heaven. No, you build up the faith to that point, and then when you need it, you use it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So when Jesus told those guys, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. The fact was that at that point, they were in unbelief, and there was nothing they could do about unbelief immediately. So this is how God helps us. The presence of Jesus, Jesus just said, okay, bring him to me. And then he settled the matter. Are you getting my point? And he told them it was because of your unbelief. Now, next statement. Nevertheless, this type does not go out but by prayer. Now, you now say that, all right, but you said it's because of your unbelief. Now, there are two ways people have interpreted that scripture, and I want you to notice this. And both of them will learn something from it, and I believe they are both correct. One, this type of evil spirit does not go out but by prayer. Listen, the fact is that, I said earlier, faith is built up before that point. Are you getting my point? And that Jesus used to charge up his spirit. Let me just put it like this. I believe it was actually a difficult demon. Are you following my point? But it's still cast out by faith. The only difference is that you build up your faith before that time, and that faith is built up where? In the position, in the place of prayer, in the place of hearing the word of God, in the place of hearing God communicate things to you directly. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That it's not as if you just get down and say, look, this demon, I have had enough of you. Now, you are going to go. Listen, if you couldn't kick him out the first time, you better have gathered some extra energy before the return battle. Do you understand my point? Now, this is the second interpretation. They said that, okay, what couldn't go out but by prayer? That it was the unbelief that could not go out but by prayer. Again, we are back to the same thing. Shebi, it is unbelief concerning that spirit. Is that not so? It comes to the same thing. Now, what am I trying to explain here? That you see, Jesus was teaching the disciples, Mark chapter 11, that before he said that, Remember, I was trying to explain the issue of how the fig tree died. Can you remember that? Now, so it was not explained to them that before you shout at fig trees, are you following my point? Before you go around shouting at things in life and your faith gets weakened because things are not responding to you, this is the way it works. First, there's a matter of praying and God granting you something in prayer because of the faith with which you approach God. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And then, this is the second step. Once God has granted you something in prayer, then you do what? You utter them. Do you understand what I'm going to say? You know, interesting enough, these things work a lot of times unconsciously. It's just a principle of life. I was into one of these CDs by Kenneth Hagin that I recommended recently. And then, you know, I was just listening to it and this thing just clicked again. The woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said that, for she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, then I shall be made whole. What did she do? She said. That is, he was saying that those words represented her faith speaking. Please notice something. She didn't go anywhere trying to impress anybody. Do you get the point I'm making here? She wasn't trying to impress anybody. Somebody would just say, where are you going? I heard Jesus has come. Ah, do you think you can see him? He says, it's not necessary. If I can just touch. Now, she's beginning to declare out of what? The fullness of what was in her heart. Yeah, are you getting my point here? That is this how the tongue works. It is not that we just speak. No. It is that we utter what our hearts are already full of. Please, are you getting my point? That is, you don't just get up and say, ah, it is well, it is well, it is well. It's having contemplated all the problems and understood that God is bigger than all my problems. So they say, what do you think? Say, I think it is well. Do you get the point I'm making? It's not as if I'm just trying to say, it is well, it is well, it is well. Believing that if I say it is well enough, it will become well. No, 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 no. It doesn't work like that. Paul said there is what they call a clanging cymbals and, let me use our own words, empty drums. Do you understand? And the empty ones tend to make what? Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, I said this again. Let me say it to you again. Now, it's not a bad thing to confess something to yourself again and again. It's a good thing. But the truth is that you are trying to persuade yourself. You have not yet been fully persuaded. I'm not saying stop doing it. You are working on it. It's good. You are trying to remind yourself. You are trying to drown out maybe the contrary evidence. But the fact is that you are not yet fully persuaded. When you are fully persuaded, the words come out of you spontaneously. Do you follow my point? They come out how? Spontaneously. That is, the words of faith come out of a persuasion in the heart. It's not something you try and muster up to impress somebody. Please, get that point very clear. I hope you are following it. But having had that full persuasion in your heart, then you still must utter those words because, listen, if the thing is in the heart abundantly, the heart will most certainly speak of it. Are you getting my point? No, I've listened to Kenneth Hagin a lot. You know, I quote him a lot. He'll tell you that people say that, oh, well, I don't have to make so much noise about praising God. You know, you can just praise God in my heart. God knows that the praise is inside my heart. He said if he knew the people well enough, he would tell them that God also knows that you are lying about it. That is, if praise is indeed inside your heart, we will most certainly notice it on the surface. Are you getting my point? I told you those days, when I first met my wife, she thought that I had a problem. And when I look back now, I think even me would have thought the guy had a problem. No, when I look back. Because, now, really, I remember one of my colleagues, Dr. Daramola, we worked in the same office. She's a lady. And then one day we're walking on the road. I remember where we're walking. We're going from our office to another part of the hospital. Just led one thing to the other. And we're talking about marriage matters, young men, young women. She was a married woman, married shortly after we started the residency program. So, but we used to be in the same office, so we used to gist a lot. Something brought up an issue. I told her, I said, all these young women, I don't know for them. I said, listen, if they only had open eyes, they will be begging to marry me. Not for this interview. I know, I wasn't even joking. We're just talking matter of factly. She just looked at me like, you're not all right. Like, you have come again. I got her, Dr. D. I said, look, Dr. D, look, get the point. I know what I'm saying. I said, look, current situations don't mean anything. I said, if you know where we are going in life, she just looked like, I've changed the topic. You have started again. I remember once I walked into a typing pool. I work in the department where we usually report, you know, pathology department. So I walked into the typing pool. I was always so, you know, exuberant, really, playing with everybody. So there was something, maybe they remarked on my tie or my shirt or something, or that you're looking very good. And I stopped. I mean, older ladies, not young children, you know, all right? So I said, oh, you think so? He said, yes. I said, see, that shows you that I'm about to get married, because very soon I'm going to catch one young woman with this kind of appearance. One of them said, go, you. It is not any appearance. It is this, your mouth. Now, do you follow my point? I didn't even notice that even they had noticed. This is the interesting part. I was saying exactly what I believed. I sit down sometimes now and I look back. I say, my God, any sane young woman should have thought I was out of order. But you know the interesting part? Let me just tell you something. There were a number of messages I listened to then. Supernatural Living Series by Bishop David Oyedepo. Miles Monroe, understanding what they call the best of Miles Monroe then. It was a collection of about 7 VHS tapes, you know. It talked in understanding purpose, motivating men to take their place in life, talking about nobody knows me. About 7 tapes, you know, I listened to all of them. Then Bishop Oyedepo had this tape called Intoxication by the Word. All right? It was a very, very good tip. Very, very good tip. Then he had another one he called Building a Great Future for Your Life. All right? And now, those are the kind of things that I sat down. I remember I listened to Mike Murdock's Born to Taste the Grapes. Do you understand? Now, those kind of things. Listen, there was no believer I shared those tips with that didn't get as crazy as I was. I remember one sister I saw once. She was not one of the crazy ones, but to tell you how I discussed with her, we went for a friend's wedding, another sister from our fellowship. And so we were just gisting. So I told her that, look, I will send you a set of tips. I said, when you finish listening to them, believe me, when you come out, the atmosphere will literally change color. But you know, that's how I used to feel. Then, so that if you're walking on the road, really, when I look back now, I must have really looked crazy. I really used to smile, you know, have a smile on my face. How are you? I said, life is good. If you give me money again, you know what I go and do? I buy more tapes, buy more books, get drunk as steel. Do you understand my point? Bishop said something, he was preaching from the book of Ephesians. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is what he was saying, which is a matter of fact. He said, he was putting 12 things side by side. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Because a man who is drunk with wine is what? Filled with wine. And the man who is filled with the Spirit, therefore, can be said to be drunk. So he said, be intoxicated by the word. That is, a drunk man misbehaves. He said, a man filled with the Spirit also misbehaves. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Paul said, is by hearing with faith. That you literally become what? Drunk. Alright? Now, literally, no, there was nobody who heard those messages that did not go crazy also. I remember one man of God, he was my mate actually. Age slightly senior to me, but we're in the same level in university. Shortly after I left school, he started a ministry in Port Harcourt. And I heard he started ministry. Once I wrote him a letter when I was 7, then when I got to Lagos and I got these tapes, I packaged 3 tapes and sent to him. Next time he came to Lagos, he came to look for me in my office. That ever since he got those tapes, ministry has not been the same. 3. Just 3. Trust me, and I said, sir, I have another set. This one, Miles Monroe. So he said, "Are you serious?" I said, "No, don't worry about the money. I will send them to you." Of course, me and copyright, we don't know each other. On what materials, though? I don't respect copyright. That is why when I started preaching, I put it boldly at the beginning of my own messages. Please feel free to make copies of this tape for sharing with others. Incidentally, for those of you who don't know, for marketing amongst your friends, you're also blessed. It's not only for sharing. No? You say, "Pastor Banking, I'm broke. Let me copy some of your tapes and sell." You are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, let's assume tomorrow night you go for your service. You find yourself in Kotangora or one corner of Zamfara, or you are somewhere between Cameroon and Nigeria. We don't know whether you are here or there. And I say, "Let me phone the Zemeka, whether he can send me CDs." Don't worry. Just look somewhere, maybe carry your own, sit in one corner, be making copies. Then this one, my own is 150. If you want 100 naira, go to Enugu in Zamfara. It's 150. In case you are in doubt, I'm telling you now that there is no sin or iniquity in it. I am permitting you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go and do likewise. I hope you are getting my point. Now, apart from the fact that my own guiding principle is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Apart from that fact, I know I have that one in mind. But I also remember where we came from.